Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
Hey everybody, Matt, your host and GM here. We are back once again with our ghost heist little sidestep meanwhile episodes. This is part two. We're going to see the second half of this heist go down, and we've got another little crew of ghosts for you today. We will be back in October with proper grayscale episodes. We've got a really fun one called Dead Folks Home. It's going to be just in time for the spoopiest time of year. It's going to be a show all about ghosts, some of which you've already met, some of which you're going to meet. You know, just a lot of ghosts going on. Unsurprising to anyone else, Aisha's in this episode. So, you know, or is going to be in that episode. The one in October, the one coming up. I'm very tired. I'm sorry. That's probably getting edited out. I don't know yet. This is all kind of loose. All right. So let's meet our ghost crew for this week. First up, we have Joe.
Oh, heck, it's me.
It is you, so, Joe. Who are you playing?
I'm here. So as suggested by at BerserkLord on Twitter, I will be playing Drail Corlo, a cursed witness to the murder of a nobleman who can't say who the murderer was, and is basically cursed to not be able to pass on that knowledge. And I'll be playing the Mastermind playbook in Matt's fun, hastily thrown together game.
It's slightly less hastily thrown together than it was last time, but it's still pretty hasty. Our second ghost is gonna be Melissa. Hello, Melissa.
Hello, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be dead for a couple hours. Forget all of my living world problems.
Can sleep when you're dead.
So, Melissa, who are you playing today?
I am taking a name suggested by the Heartbeats podcast at Heartbeats Cast. They suggested just the first name Barry, so that's all I'm taking. This is Barry. He has dissolved completely any concept of having a last name. Barry is the world's greatest grandpa.
Oh my gosh.
Melissa, stop making the best characters.
Oh my gosh. I don't... Okay, what playbook type are you playing?
I am playing the hacker playbook.
Very cool. All right, and our third ghost is a guest. Someone new to the Lost Library podcast. And it is my buddy, Sky. Hello, Sky.
Hey guys, what's up? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, of course. So, Sky, who are you playing today?
God, I wish I went second. I don't know if I could top Barry. I'm going to be playing a character who has a name suggested by Aaron Catano. If I am mispronouncing your name, I am sorry. That's just exactly how it's spelled. But I'm going to be playing a character named Humphrey Rincon, who was a young lad who dreamed of creating the most incredible candy products in the world, but sadly, he passed away before seeing his dream reach fruition.
Oh, that's very sad.
My reading kind of fell apart as I cold read that last part. I didn't actually read the last sentence before, so I apologize for that. But sounds pretty rad. But luckily, in his ghost life, he found a new career as a thief.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't make something, steal something.
Well, when you can't touch the corporeal world and you can't make candy bars or whatever, you gotta, why not steal stuff?
I mean, fair, I guess.
That's how I live my life.
Sky, secret ghost. So,
you
Sky.
You met me in person, you don't know.
It's true. Only on the internet, and the internet is a lie. speaking of the internet and things on it, Sky, you are a new voice here, and you have a couple of other podcasts out there. Do you want to plug those real quick for our listeners?
That's probably a good idea. there's probably some overlap with my listeners and yours, but I run a podcast where we watch a thing from pop culture and talk about how it sucks. It's called Pop Culture Failure. We just finished up the Nickelodeon Animorph series, which was
y'all
not
survived
great going
the
through.
Nickelodeon Animorph series.
Well, we also survived the Inhumans and Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation. And let me tell you, none of them is my favorite.
Sky, I hate to be the one to break this to you, but I don't think you actually survived the Inhumans. I think that's why you're a ghost now.
Quick question. Am I allowed to curse? That's going to be important moving forward. Okay.
Yes, you are.
Damn it. Okay. Well, you know, if I'm dead, don't tell me. It's working out okay.
Fair. I'm just gonna keep going. Yeah. I mean, at this point, why change things? So... we're going to jump. Oh, did you want to
oh,
plug
that right. I'm also on a actual play RPG Pokemon podcast called Pokemon Mind Your Body. We record infrequently, but it's worth a listen. Our last episode went up a while ago, but it was really fun. My partner decided to split the party, and while I met an awesome Torterra and got a free egg, he almost got eaten by Spinarak. So that was fun.
So y'all are not quite leaning into the same Pokemon are cute kind of mindset as some others.
Not so much, no.
Okay.
But Seth, my character had a good time.
Good. I mean, listen, that's all that matters for our conversation right now, so I'll take it.
That's right.
So we're going to jump in. It is the same beautiful Saturday in Port Avalon. If it wasn't a Saturday last time, it is now. but you know what?
Hey, ghosts have no concept of time. It's fine.
Exactly. Y'all don't know it's a beautiful day in the mortal world. It's a beautiful day to be mortal. But y'all are dead at various times and through various means. Y'all are dead. Y'all haven't crossed over or really even tried to yet. And like a lot of ghosts, y'all are hanging out at an old, in the mortal world, kind of run down, Victorian style house along the river, just kind of north of the city of Port Avalon. And y'all have been gathered together to a small little column in the backyard of this house. And on that column, there is an orb, and the orb, out of the orb, is kind of like a voice that's talking to y'all. It's kind of got that computer synthesized mask tone over it. And the orb is, as the orb speaks, it kind of lights up in the rhythm of the words that are coming out of it. So it's, y'all are all just kind of standing around, and the voice comes through and says, "Oh, good. You are gathered together.
Called us here.
Yes. Yes, we did. We have a job for you three."
Cool. What kind of job?
"We need you three to go into a bunker underneath an old church that is now a museum. And we need you to make sure an agent of ours can retrieve an object from that bunker."
"Oh boy, happy to help. Glad to go enjoy the sights of a museum."
"Take it down, Barry. Now."
"This sounds like a fun day outing with you, my kids, my great great grandsons."
"This sounds far too simple. Surely there is some rub. Which you will no doubt inform us of."
"Of course, that is to be expected from such a job. We did send another team ahead of you to clear the way on the outside of the building. However, owing to a security detail that we have been unable to penetrate, we are not sure what exactly awaits you in the bunker itself."
"Joy of old joys."
"Well, we would not expect you to do this job for free, as it does carry some amount of risk."
"All I want to do is make my chocolate cotton candy bar Are you going to help me do that or not?
There is a long pause, and the voice comes back and just goes, if that is the price of your participation, we are able to get in touch with some local candy companies and see about getting that produced.
Can we call it Humphreys?
Or
the Rinkin Bar! There we go! Barry.
The Rinkin Bar.
Would you eat a Rinkin Bar?
That might be the more acceptable option. Let's go with that one. For the other two, we would like to suggest that unless you have a request of your own, we would be able to aid you in crossing over.
Oh, I got too many kids to take care of over here, still on Earth. Gotta watch over them and make sure they cross the street safely and make sure they stay in bed and they don't wake up to see Santa Claus when he brings their presents and that they have good birthdays and they don't fall off their bikes. It's a big job.
Sounds like a lot of work, yeah.
It's a big job, but I love to do it.
There's another long pause and the voice comes back and just goes, all right, I'm sure we can find some way to... How about we call it a favor for you then, that you can call in at any time?
Oh boy, that sounds swell.
What would be your experience with removing curses?
We have several agents who are skilled in such matters. Is that what you would like to participate in?
Certainly.
I believe we can accommodate you there.
Well, I would like some sort of guarantee, as I will have to be stuck with a disparate group of weirdos for probably the next few hours.
I take exception to that.
You shouldn't.
Look, this is just what I died in. I can't change it afterwards. What do you want from me? I'm imagining him as a little newsy kid.
Yes.
He's got the cap and the overalls.
Oh, love it. It's very good. The voice comes back and just goes, well, how about this? We have arranged transportation for you. The driver will provide you with an object which will mitigate any and all curses that you currently died under, until such a time as we can make it a permanent change.
That is far more than I ever expected. I will accept these terms.
Well, we aim to please those that we contract for our jobs.
And if this works, you have succeeded, so my thanks.
So do we sign a thing, or you said contract?
Well, we understand the limitations of your current state, and we believe that...
Yeah, I can't sign in blood. There ain't none.
That's very true. However, we have your words, and as soon as you step into the vehicle that we have provided, those words will become binding. And I should not have to explain to each of you what a binding word of promise does to a spirit being.
Well, I died pretty young, but I could tell by your tone you don't want to talk anymore or about it. So, sure.
It's impressive that you managed to read tone across this communication device. You are a perceptive young man.
Yeah, that's why we make a good thief.
Very good. If you'll proceed to the front of the building, you will find your ride waiting for you.
As soon as Dreo, like, leaves the house and is headed up to the ride, as soon as he leaves the house, like, this very fancy, like, nobleware shifts into 17th century, like, French armor. Like, far more for show than it is for actual combat. But, okay. Yeah, that's a thing.
All right. So, y'all head around to the front of the house, and pulled up to the curb is a long, shiny black town car. And standing next to it, holding open the back door, is a person dressed in a chauffeur's outfit, complete with hat. He has a skeletal hand protruding from the sleeves, but you cannot see a face. There's just kind of a shadow. And the chauffeur just bows as you approach and gestures into the car.
I guess I'm float walking. I'm not sure how this works, but as I walk up, I'm going to stop. Is this a hearse? I feel like this is on the nose if this is a hearse.
No, sir. We sent the hearse with the first team. I don't really go in for the classic style, so this is just a shiny modified town car.
Neat. You got enough room for Fancy Boy here?
We have. We have enough room for anybody and everything. Everyone goes through my car eventually.
Ominous, but okay. I'm gonna hop in.
I'm going to give the chauffeur like a hearty clap on the shoulder and a great big handshake and say, thanks for taking us to town.
You go in, you give him the hearty clap, and you just feel bone under his jacket. And when you give him the hearty handshake, like, his entire skeletal hand just kind of collapses under the weight of yours and then just like springs back up when you let go.
Oh boy, looks like you might need some nourishment. You need a hearty meal. Come over to my place and I'll cook you a pot roast.
That was gross.
Oh man, it's been a while since anybody's invited me right into their house. But I suppose you can't die twice, so it's probably fine.
Drow steps up and expecting the courtesies afforded to him alive is just waiting for anyone to like extend a hand so he can get up, and assuming none of it happens, he's just someday people will learn from this. And
as you do, the Reaper holds out a small, what would you prefer here, Joe? Would you prefer a necklace or a ring or a bracelet?
I think ring.
Okay. So as you're stepping up, the Reaper opens his other hand, and in the middle of it is an onyx-carved ring with a very ornate letter S carved on the top of it. And he just holds out and says, I was supposed to pass this along to you. Supposed to be useful, I suppose.
It gives it a look. I will refrain from placing this on my hand until the job is done. That seems the most honorable thing to do.
The urge to grab it and wear it is real strong.
Oh, yeah.
So, did you want me to hold on to it, or are you going to take it, or...
No, I will take it. And he, like, He takes it from it and just, like, slips it into a ghost pocket.
Very good. To clarify, the spiritual world affects ghosts the way the physical world affects mortals. So there's gravity, the clothes you're wearing feel and act physical on you. You can do, like, cosmetic changes like Joe did. Things like that. You can kind of control your form a little bit in both realms, if you believe your character has the willpower to do so. So, you slide the ring into a pocket and you step into the vehicle. And what you step into looks for all the world like a 1970s nerd basement. There is an old TV. There are just some shelves of comic books. And your driver steps in behind you and closes the door and walks over to a late 90s, early 2000s car driving arcade cabinet. Sits down and just starts playing the game. And there's some like slit windows set really high on the wall, like a good basement would have. And you can see trees moving past. So whatever he's doing on the arcade seems to be working. And he just like waves a hand over his head and says, y'all can enjoy anything. Just put it all back. Don't want a messy room.
Well, I'm going to be checking out them funny books. I've always seen them, but I ain't, I never got to read them before.
There are some classic Archie comics in there.
Oh, I'm very insulted by Casper the Friendly Ghost. that is upsetting.
There is canonically a ghost YouTube in the spiritual realm that's called BooTube because Travis.
Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be?
I mean, yeah. So just go ahead and assume that there are plenty of diatribe videos that are just like, man, the writers of Casper didn't know anything.
I'm pretty sure that this is just dead Richie Rich.
There are so many think pieces on that topic.
What else did Archie have? Oh, Archie did have the Shield, who that's why Captain America can't have or couldn't have the regular shield shape and had to get the disc. So let's say I'm reading the Shield.
There you go.
His shirt looks like a shield. That's the entire limit of my knowledge on him.
I mean, that seems like it kind of nails the entire character right there. So after a little while, some nebulous amount of time, the car stops. And if any of you happen to be looking over your driver's shoulder, you'll see the words "Game Over" flashing on the screen. And he just pulls himself out of the plastic chair and just goes, "Ah, man, I couldn't beat the time. Oh well. Suppose you guys have a job to do, anyways. Here, I'll be around to pick you up when you're done, and." I believe I've been contracted to deliver you some parting gifts and some rewards when we're finished here. So let's get y'all loaded. Oh, wait, hold on. And he looks back in the game closet and says, give it a second. All right. Your first ghost team is pulled away. So you guys are up. Looks like they cleared the outside for you. So your driver goes over to the same door and opens it. And you see outside the kind of gravelly parking lot around an old kind of small town traditional white church with steeple. There are some signs around it and that are all kind of suggest that it's a museum of life in early Port Avalon.
Oh boy, time for learning.
Oh man.
Gather round, kids. There's two of you, so you each have a buddy. That's good. We can all stick together. And if we do this heist real nice, Grandpa's gonna take you out for ice cream.
I'm just holding up a finger, and I'm still reading.
I feel as though that will not be necessary.
The driver comes over to you, Humphrey, and just taps on your shoulder and just says, Well, tell you what, sport, why don't you just take that issue with you, you can just keep reading it at your own leisure. I will collect eventually, though, so don't break it.
What? What are we doing? We're doing a thing, right?
You're getting out of my car.
Oh, car. This was a car?
Well.
Whatever. Okay, cool.
All right.
Not looking up, he's going to walk out the door.
Okay. So, he looks at Barry next and just goes, keep an eye on that boy. He seems, yeah. Keep an eye on him. I'm going to want that comic book back eventually. It's part of a set.
Don't worry. I keep an eye on every boy. And I give the chauffeur, like, a Santa Claus, like, wink.
That was more terrifying than I think you intended it to be, but all right. And what about you, Fancy Pants?
Just breezing past him.
Good. Glad we have this relationship sorted out. After the three of y'all step out of the vehicle, the door closes, and then a window rolls down, and you see just a normal town car through the window with your driver behind the front seat. And he just goes, "Oh, by the way, I was supposed to tell you something about the fence posts. Don't remember what it was, but, you know, I don't know. They're something. One of them made space catch on fire. I don't know. The other group was real kind of wired about it."
That's extremely helpful. Thank you.
You are welcome, son. Y'all have a good time, and I'll be back when y'all are done.
Son, I'm not your son. Why would you call me? That's not fair.
Okay.
Dad, what do
you want me to remember? Mumbles.
Y'all sound like y'all are going to have a fun afternoon. All right, bye. And he just peels out.
I'm going to turn back to Barry and Trow, and what are we stealing again?
We are allowing access to a lower level so that one of their agents can enter and steal a thing.
I thought I was stealing a thing.
You can certainly steal whatever you like, I am sure. So, apart from that, what do we know about the situation?
Oh, I can fill in the gaps for you. And there is a fourth person standing there next to you.
If I wasn't already a ghost, I'd be a little spooked. What?
Hey.
How's it going?
This young man is dressed in kind of a priest suit. It's got the collar and everything. He just looks like a real good boy. And he just goes, "Oh, hello. I'm Ben."
Yay!
I'm here to retrieve an object. And, I mean, it seems a little weird that, because, you know, I'm like an angel, but it seems a little weird that I would need help from Ghost, but apparently there's some weird defenses in there that keep people like me out. So y'all are going to go in, and y'all are going to get rid of them, and then I'm going to go in, and hold on. I watched a movie of this the other day. Friday went and saw something about... It was something about water, but it had ladies stealing jewelry.
Signs.
Oceans. And
you are telling
you're supposed
me that,
to call it...
You are telling me that the day Friday watched a movie.
Oh, no. The anthropomorphization of time doesn't really subdivide herself that way, and she kind of doesn't like angels, so we wouldn't hang out regardless. But no, Friday's my friend.
Nothing you just said made any sense to me.
It does to someone.
What was that guy talking about setting the world or space on fire or something? I feel like we should be concerned about that.
That doesn't seem good.
I agree.
Oh, I bet he meant that the fence stakes around the church are, like, magically warded against spiritual beings. Apparently one of the other, like, the first crew they sent in, someone, like, ripped a fence post out and stabbed an evil ghost through the face with it, and it caught on fire.
Huh. Neat.
So, maybe we shouldn't touch those.
That is helpful information to have. Thank you, small
good
angel boy.
I try to be helpful, sir.
Hands in your pockets.
I don't really have functional pockets in this outfit.
You I trust, buddy. I'm watching out for my boys over here, my good boys. We're going on an adventure today.
I'm fairly certain one of them's a grown man before he died.
Oh, they're
it's
all
me.
My
I
kids.
Just smoked a lot, so my growth stunted. I'm actually 432.
Okay. I don't think you can bend time that way, but I don't know everything yet. Oh, wait. Wait, you're the candy bar guy.
Oh, you heard about the Rican bar?
Ben gets real quiet and just goes, "I haven't yet." And he does like this furtive, like looking over his shoulder thing. It's gonna be good though.
Oh, I'm gonna haunt you less now.
Okay.
I appreciate your support. Angel?
I mean, I will have tried it in a couple of years.
Time is funny with you, isn't it? It sounds complicated.
It's really not. I just break a lot of rules unintentionally.
That doesn't sound any less complicated, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you.
Okay. Can I have a lifetime supply of the bars, too?
What? No.
Aww.
How am I going to get ghost rich if I can't, you know... Look, whatever. Let's do this thing already.
Well, okay. Thank you, Cherub Ben, for informing us that we succeed. So, that is at least positive information.
Oh, well, I'm a seraph, and really, all that you could infer from that bit of information is that he makes it out in one piece.
All right!
That is true.
Sorry for you. And sorry for you.
It also doesn't mean that he doesn't take any sort of psychological damage along the way. Y'all are just spirit beings, after all.
I'm already dead. What's the worst that can happen?
You could turn into a poltergeist.
Yeah, but I don't feel like I'm going to care once I lose my whatever this is.
I mean,
coherency?
That's probably fair. Okay, well, tell you what. Y'all go in, and I'll hang out here until y'all give me the all-clear signal, okay?
What's the signal? Is it this? And he's going to wave his arms around?
Sure, I can probably see that through the ground.
Nailed it. Ben's going to turn around. Or not Ben. You're Ben. Humphrey's going to walk. Turn around and walk away. Or float away. I haven't decided how he moves.
Fair. All right, what are y'all doing?
Is there a visible access point that we should start from?
There's a front door to a church.
Well, I feel like that one's super obvious and probably the most protected, but...
Supposedly, the previous team cleared the defenses for you, so...
Alright. Well, then, Humphrey's gonna walk right up there and just kinda kick open the doors. Why be subtle?
If Barry moves to, like, follow them, I'm just gonna... place a hand out. This is, I believe, the canary in the mineshaft.
Good.
He can have the first turn. It's good that you boys want to take turns.
Good.
I hope you realize I died before you were even thought of.
Uh-huh. You're not supposed to know how old Grandpa is.
Melissa, is Barry actually supposed to be Santa Claus?
He's...
I feel like that's information that I need.
He is the man in the community that was always chosen to portray Santa Claus, be it at parties or at local celebrations. How seriously he took that is up to you.
Okay. Is he Turkish by any chance? Is he actual Saint Nick?
Or of Turkish descent?
In my mind, he looks kind of like Wilford Brimley, but he can look like whatever your favorite grandpa is.
So, is his name Barry Nicklaus?
Sure.
Okay, so we have a Santa. Good. Okay. I'm glad we've expanded the lore of this world in this specific direction.
You are going to have to change your skill sheet to include some Santa powers. You can now create toys.
I love that.
You can just kind of whisper up trees and stuff.
I love that Santa is now canon in two Lost Library productions.
Let this be my legacy.
I mean, listen. Anyone out there listening to Lost Library who doesn't believe in Santa Claus, we're not friends, so fix yourself. Santa is a joy in this world, and you will not take him from me. So, Well, I mean, listen, you're playing the hacker, so that already means you have reality warping powers.
Yeah, this yeah, just... I can be in every home in the world in one night. Who says I can't?
Time works differently everywhere you go, kind of, in this realm, so who knows? Humphrey's going and kicking the door in. Your foot just kind of goes right through the door, Humphrey?
Is this surprising to me, or is that what I would have normally experienced as a ghost?
Presumably, if you've gone on other ghost heists and perfected your skills as a thief, you would know that you can probably just walk right through these solid doors and nothing should stop you.
Okay. I was just doing it for dramatic effect. Then.
It looked really dramatic.
Okay. So what do I find on the other side of the door?
So, on the other side of the door, you find old wood-floored church, single room. There's kind of a raised section at the other end that does still have a podium on it. There are some pictures on the walls with plaques beneath them, kind of detailing life in early Port Avalon. This is still an active museum exhibit. It's kind of part of the National Forest in this area. And, yeah, they just kind of preserved the outer structure of the church and repurposed it to be a museum piece. Kind of a, like, they occasionally do, like, living history exhibits in here, things like that.
Okay.
Up at the front, though, where there would have been, like, a sunken area behind the podium for a baptistry, there is instead a big trapdoor.
Okay.
And I would like you to roll spectral for me.
It is a 4.
It seems fine.
Okay, that's good.
Seems like a trapdoor.
I'm glad it wasn't full of Ghostbusters or something. Because that roll sucked.
I mean, that's the kind of roll that lets you miss the two Ghostbusters while you're out jogging.
That's fair. Can I employ the nothing sees me unless I want them to, move?
Sure. Yeah. So you're functionally invisible. Do you want to let your buddies know that it's safe to move in?
It's probably a good idea. Well, also, I don't super know if that is, but whatever. I'm going to poke my head through the door and be like, yeah, we're good. Wave them in and disappear back into the church.
All right. What do you two do?
Barry's gonna stroll on in. He never walks, he only strolls.
Okay. Barry, unlike Humphrey, you do encounter a little bit of resistance as you're moving through because you're not quite as adept at crossing these kind of physical barriers as he is. So you face just a little bit more resistance and then you're through.
Oh, what a strong threshold this building has. Strong craftsmanship.
Drayla's going to let Barry go and supervise the small child as he kind of does like a lap around the building looking for any other entrances, exits, things that might assist in knowledge going ahead with a heist.
Okay, very good. So you take a lap and you find some kind of just a little off the parking lot, you find a couple of piles of ectoplasmic goo that you can kind of pretty safely assume from some comments from Ben and your knowledge that someone else was dealing with external security threats earlier, that these are probably the remains of some ghostly forces that were going to be deployed against y'all. So, hey, someone did their job well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also kind of roughly tell from just kind of the psychic impression on the area that these were most likely poltergeists, which leads us up to a real good moment to talk about some divisions in ghosts in this world. Most ghosts are just, you know, the souls of dead people who have not crossed over to their afterlife of choice. If you stay too long And if you happen to be a particularly vicious spirit, you can turn into a poltergeist, which really has no sense of self and just kind of murders things. And if a mortal sorcerer of sufficient will is involved, they can coerce poltergeist to kind of do their bidding. That's most likely the kind of forces that were arrayed against y'all, which also does clue you in that if there's going to be physical resistance inside, that's probably the most likely form for it to take is going to be some more poltergeists. As you continue your circuit around, you do also notice, I would like you actually to roll smarts for me.
Okay, so I believe I have +2, which would be really helpful because I only rolled a 6. Yep, +2, so I've got an 8.
That's a partial success, so you're kind of looking and you notice a good little ways off in the woods from the church itself, you notice a couple of pipes sticking up out of the ground. And you've been active long enough that you've kind of caught up with some modern building techniques. Maybe you haunted a military installation for a little while or something. But you recognize these as ventilation for a bunker. And you also managed to kind of put together, you're like, okay, if it extends out this far, most likely there's going to be a secondary exit somewhere, probably hidden, but could be a good plan B for an escape route if we need it.
Okay. Maybe even just an entry point.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah. If you can find it.
I will head into the church itself to relay findings.
Okay. So, inside the church, y'all kind of share some information here back and forth. And this is the situation y'all are presented with. There are, as far as y'all are able to tell, one for sure point of entry and another kind of nebulous possible point of entry off in the woods. The main one is this trap door. So, what do y'all do? What do y'all say? How do y'all kind of begin preparing for this little heisty heist?
So, our mission is to clear the way. There is a potential other entrance or exit, as previously stated, but if we are to go through and create the best entrance for our angel friend, then the trapdoor is the most likely suspect. By my estimation.
Yeah. Thanks, Lord Fancy Pants. Okay, so what if I drop through the ground and come up on the other end? That way I could come up, if there's anybody at the base of the trapdoor, I could come out and see them without having come down the super obvious trapdoor.
That could work.
Barry, any thoughts?
I have a move called I've Got Eyes Everywhere. I could send these eyes down there and you wouldn't have to move at all, which seems like the safer option.
So small spectral ghost elves.
That's what I
yell.
I don't know where you were going to go with this character before, Melissa, but it kind of feels like this is where we're going now. And I feel like I'm partially to blame for that. So, you know, this is a hell of our own making, I guess. So what we need to do then for you, I need you to roll, just kind of keep track in your head or on a piece of scratch paper or something. That move is going to take 1 point of spook to activate. And what you're going to do is you're going to roll your spectral.
Okay. Well, that is... Oh boy, that's 11.
Heck.
Okay. That's very good. So, you just kind of... Tell me what this looks like for you. Like, this is kind of the idea that kind of inspired this is that scene in any good heist movie where the hacker, like, takes the cameras and can kind of check over on any part of the premises a little bit. So tell me what this looks like for you, Barry.
I have a suggestion.
It does not have to be elves.
It doesn't have to be, but it could be.
I think the way Barry sees this is that he takes a pair of old reading glasses out of the pocket of his... He also wears overalls, like of old course. Farmer overalls. My grandpa was a farm man, so he's got these overalls and maybe like a big old soft cardigan and like house slippers all the time, every day. And so he pulls these like old reading spectacles out of his overall pocket and he puts those on and he sort of rubs at his beard. And so that's what you're seeing. You're just seeing him like peer distantly off into the distance. And then his vision has this like beautiful, like kind of sparkle around it. And like, it's all in like a warm, hazy sepia. And I guess he's going to go look down below the trapdoor.
All right. So you pull on your specs and you adjust them a little bit and you kind of lean down over the door and you're looking around and what you see, because you got a very good roll, you're seeing almost everything because listen, if you had gotten a 12, you would basically have like the holographic map of the entire bunker. So what you see is there's like some stairs that go down from this trapdoor and there's a hallway stretching out a little bit, kind of out towards the forest. And it kind of opens up into a bigger room. And you can see kind of like a rough, hazy outline of another room beyond that. And there seems to be a pretty hefty door. And you kind of get the impression that there's someone or something in that room kind of on guard. You don't think it noticed your kind of, not intrusion, but you don't think it noticed that it was observed. But you're not 100% sure.
Oh, boys, there's someone else here guarding something way down in the basement. You go down a little hallway and into this other room. There's a guard there. We're going to have to be real sneaky.
Okay, that's kind of my thing.
Any other check-in?
Can I see if there's any kind of wards, any kind of spectral obstacles to us? Because it's not like... I don't know. It's dusty and dark. What if we run into a cobweb? We're ghosts. We're not worried about it. But are there wards or something?
You didn't really see any. If you want to ask... let's see here. Anybody can roll spectral for me. All three of y'all, if y'all all want to kind of check for rewards here. Mm-hmm.
I rolled an 8.
Okay.
I have a 9.
I got an 11.
Okay. All right. So, Barry and Humphrey, y'all are both looking around and y'all don't see anything that would be like super dangerous necessarily, like nothing that y'all kind of trips your alarms really. Drell, you see it's weird. It doesn't seem negative, but you see kind of a ward etched into the trapdoor and like the adjoining floorboards on all four sides. It looks kind of like something that's almost like a silent alarm, but it doesn't, like, you're kind of tracing it and you're trying to figure out kind of where the power's flowing, I guess is kind of the best way to describe it. And it doesn't seem like the alarm goes down into the bunker. Like, the alarm goes somewhere else.
Okay. Do any of you have experience with marring magical wards?
That would be the purview of the hacker for sure, yep, because that would be affecting the mortal world, and probably the thief if you wanted to talk about some of your moves, Sky, and try to talk me into some of those applying.
Well,
because as we discussed before we started recording, all the moves right now are really vague, to the point of they're just kind of names, and we're going to make them apply however way we want to, because, you know, I'm making this game and I can do what I want, until I write it all down, and then they're rules and I have to follow them until they become not fun. So do you want to try to sell me on one of your moves, Sky, or do you just want to see if Barry can take a shot at it? What do y'all want to do?
Well, I mean, walls are just stubborn doors. I could probably phase through wherever.
It's true. So this probably, this might not be a worry for you.
Yeah. Though, because potentially I could at least go, if I can't figure out how to take it down or whatever, I could at least give intel and then Barry can hack his way through.
Mm-hmm.
And I've broken into worse, so I'm not super afraid of any of this crap. I could just kind of zip in through.
All right. That kind of sounds like this might not be the puzzle for you, is kind of what I'm hearing you say. Is that accurate?
Kind of feels like that, yeah.
Okay.
Barry? I do have a move literally called I Play in the Mortal World. So we have, we can tell there's some sort of alarm system and we don't want to alarm that guard figure, correct?
Yes. Drell, how much did you kind of explain about what you saw, or was it just what you said?
Yeah, I mean, I can do that in roleplay and try and do a move for some planning.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, let's do that.
So the words I am talking about are a sort of alarm, but not to the bunker, I would assume to the one who casts such wards. So there may be some sort of backup if we do trigger them.
Oh, is it like a baby monitor? Sense. Like there's somebody out there who's listening in here on this bunker church?
Sure. Certainly, is that thing I have many memories of.
You've never monitored a baby before?
No, that was the help's job.
Oh, well, it's all our jobs to help.
Wow. It's just a rich tapestry of narrative being woven here. I love it.
Moving swiftly on, if we can disable those and perform some sort of distraction for this guard, we may all be able to slip past. Not all of us, I assume, with the very loud one, are particularly adept at subterfuge.
Am I the loud one?
You certainly can be.
Well, I can probably slip behind him and, you know, ghost stuff at him, like tap on the shoulder and then hide, or I could stab him or whatever. I don't know. Did you know how big he? How big is he? Did you see? I once got beaten up real bad. I may have died. So let's maybe not that.
Yeah. Do we have any concept of whoever this guard is? Can we just tell there's some entity there, and they give off the impression they are guarding something? Did I get any sense of shape, size, mortal?
No, you kind of, it didn't feel like a poltergeist, but it did kind of feel like another spiritual entity, not necessarily a mortal.
Oh. May have another ghost at work here, boys.
Oh. Are they on our team?
I would assume no.
We'd best be cautious.
Okay. So what do you guys want to do?
I would like the wards to be removed. Either silence them or move past them.
Well, I've got no problem moving past them, but I don't know what we're going to do with you nerds. Sorry. Hey, would I have any Can I talk you into allowing me to use one of my abilities to either shut down the wards or something?
That's probably going to be more of Barry's job.
Hacky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can use I play in the mortal world for this.
Okay, so to directly affect the mortal world like you're going to do, you're basically going to spend a point of spook and just kind of do it.
Okay.
Instead of having to roll spectral, you'll kind of invoke that move and spend the point of spook. And then just kind of make what you want to have happen.
What I'm visualizing, I picture this ward as just like the big alarm bell, like an old school, like clanging metal on metal, like fire alarm. And I'm picturing just like a big pair of like earmuffs, big fluffy earmuffs being stuck over it so that the metal's just hitting something soft. Like, it's completely muffled. There's no noise.
Okay. That's very, very good. You do this to the ward, and the other two of you, as Barry's visualizing this whole effect, y'all see the etched runes of this ward start to like sizzle a little bit and blacken, and then just kind of like their shape loses definition, and there's just kind of these like burned out notches on all four sides of the trapdoor now.
Very good.
I could have done that. So, all right. So, what was that canary in the coal mine thing? I'm gonna go ahead and walk the trap door.
All right. So, you just start walking down through it, and you're on some stairs leading down into a bunker. You're still using your "nobody sees me unless I want them to," right?
Correct.
Cool. So you just keep walking down, and at the end of this hallway that stretches out, there is kind of this big wide room. At the far side, you see a big like vault door set into the wall, and it is covered in glowing runes. And as you're kind of taking stock of all this, you notice all the edges of the far wall are also covered in glowing runes, just way smaller ones. And standing in front of the door, just kind of leaning up against it, is another shape. It's a ghost, just kind of chilling.
What does it look like?
It looks like a dude.
Now, when you say dude, what I'm picturing is a college douchebag guy with, like, cargo shorts and a hacky sack. Is that accurate, or is it, like, a guy in, like, a trench coat or something?
It's not a trench coat. It is... Okay. What it is it's a youngish man, probably late 20s. He's leaning up against the door, the vault door. He's got on what looks like some jeans, kind of a tight button-down white shirt that's tucked in, and he's got a black vest over top of it. And very disconcertingly, you notice that there are bullet holes and, like, blood stains on his clothes, which is, it's one of the ghostly fashions. Like, if you're a ghost who actively takes up a role as a like an enforcer or anything like that, one of like the typical fashions is to wear the clothes you died in if you died a violent death, and that seems to be what this guy's doing. So he's just kind of like showing off how bad his death was, and like, well, that didn't stop me, so how can you, is kind of the impression that they're aiming
for.
And yeah, he's just leaning. He has not noticed you.
Cool. I'm going to zip back up. You know what? Screw it. I'm not going to take the stairs. I'm just going to go straight up.
Okay.
And pop up through the floor behind you guys.
All right. You come up outside and you have to go through the wall of the building. you go to like pass through the fence that's around the outside of the church. And
it's that far away?
Okay. Yeah, it's just a little ways outside. This is a small building.
Okay.
So you go to pass through the fence and you can't. And so you go to vault over and you feel like a burning sensation in your hands as you jump it. Mm-hmm. And then you're through the wall of the building behind them.
That stung a bit. So there's a guy down there. Also a shit ton of runes.
Any more information on perhaps a descriptor of this guy? Or just...
He died. And he's dead. He had... like a lot of bullet holes. And he's one of those guys. And also, real little runes around the like the bottom, and like the vault door is just like blackened with runes. So, I don't like that at all. He didn't seem to notice me, which is good. Also, I went through the fence and it burned my hands a little.
Oh dear.
He did not seem to be adversely affected by the runes he was near.
Nah, he was leaning on the door, so I don't know, man.
All right, what are y'all gonna do?
So, from the runes in the corners, can we extrapolate that every portion of the vault is protected, or can I come from a different angle?
That's kind of the feeling that you got, is that with those runes on the edge of the walls, that whatever vault this is probably has some protection against your kind of specific walk-through-the-wall intrusion. And it kind of makes it seem like one way in, one way out kind of a feel. And that most likely the runes on the door are just like, those are the tumblers of the lock.
Perhaps we could, I don't know, improvise and get him to open the door for us.
Yes.
You don't hire a guy like that to open up your shit, though.
We can sure give it a good try. Make a new friend.
We can certainly offer him...
Gonna give him a cookie?
We can certainly offer him a reward. Okay. We are going to be delivered such.
I don't know if he's gonna want candy. That's all I got.
Yes.
May love a gift. You change your behavior
a
whole lot.
You gonna whip one up real fast?
I could do such a thing, yes. I've known many a person to really straighten their ways and really try and act good if they think they're gonna get a gift.
You tell them they're on the naughty list and they just snap right up.
Excellent. So, that's the plan, and then improvise if it fails.
All right. I might just not like be visible, but I'm still 100% with you guys.
Fair.
All right.
I guess either. Well, we just melt through the floor.
Yeah. Once again, Humphrey just goes right through. Barry, it's you feel the same kind of, it's a little bit more resistant to you going through, and Drawl, it takes it, you have to push to get through because you're not quite as in tune with the mortal world anymore. But y'all get through, you go down the stairs. Hey, Barry and Drawl, y'all see the guy stand at the end of the hall, and this time he does notice you two. And he just kind of gives y'all a jaunty wave and says, oh, hi there.
Hello, boy. What's your name?
Tell me what you want for Christmas.
My name is Jonah. How are you guys?
Hello, Jonah. What are you doing here in this bunker on such a fine day?
Well, you know, got hired to protect this bunker from from any sort of spiritual intrusion, which, I mean, I guess they're right, because y'all are here, and I heard a bit of a fight go down up top a minute ago. I kind of wish I could have gotten my hands on them, but I was told stay here and guard the bunker.
Yes, we were just sent out to dispatch these intruders. I guess you could say we were also hired on.
Oh, really? I'm going to need you to roll smooth for me on this one here, Joe.
Yes.
Do you want to try to sell me on any of your mastermind moves?
The only one I'm just like, oh, new information has come up. I guess I improvise. And I have masterful improvisation.
Tell you what, because I haven't figured out what that is yet in any sort of mechanical terms, mark down a spook point if you want to use that. And I'll give you, let's give you a +2 to whatever you roll here.
Heck yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. +1. +2 is a lot in this game.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, you can give me +3 if you really want. Or just like...
No, just a +1. Yeah. An additional +1 to whatever you're adding to your smooth.
Cool. So, +1 for smooth and extra +1. I have a 12.
Yep. Okay. All right. So he just kind of scratches his head and looks at you and goes, ah, well, I mean, they told me this was an exclusive deal, but, you know, I definitely heard people fighting poltergeist up there, so maybe less exclusive than I thought. So did you deal with them? What were they like? They sounded like good fighters.
They were admirable, I suppose, in their own way. But things change, and the wards that would trip an alarm have been sullied, and there is a suspicion that they might have gotten into the vault.
What wards? The only wards are down here, and they don't really trip alarms. More like they just trip, well, not death, because, and he just kind of like puts his own hand through himself, you know, dead already, but like super death, ultra death, final death, one of those.
They did not inform you about the wards that were on the floor above here?
No, they just said they were the only wards were down here to keep hold on, how'd they phrase this? Spiritual folk gotta keep spiritual people from getting into my vault here, and that I was supposed to stand here and not let anyone in. But you already know that. You're working this job with me. Hey, do y'all have any food?
Would you like a cookie?
Oh my god, I want a cookie so much.
And then just from behind my back, like magic, I pull out a beautiful ceramic plate covered with both little frosted sugar cookies and rich, warm chocolate chip cookies.
Oh my god, you're my favorite person on earth.
Can I've heard eat that a lot.
That whole plate. Can I just eat all of it? And he doesn't really even wait for a response. He just grabs it and just shovels all of them into his mouth. Because I decided that this guy is Goku, apparently.
He also does not know what kissing is.
I mean, you know, also that. He just knows about punching.
Mm-hmm.
He has 3 kids, so other stuff too.
Chi-Chi has to deal with a lot, is all I'm saying.
Or is it 2 kids? 2 kids, right?
No, I don't watch 2, anime.
Go 10.
Bullshit.
You liar! You liar! I've been on your show, Joe, and you still haven't done the anime I recommended.
So, we put the guard away from the door.
Yeah. Can I be super invisible and stealthy and use my move, give me lockpick strong enough, and I'll unlock the world to see if I can pop this baby open?
Heck yeah. Let's see here. I'm going to need you to do two rolls for me.
Sure.
One plus spectral and one plus sneak. And you get a plus one to both of them.
Neato. All right. So I got a 10. Let's call that spectral. Actually, that'd be an 11.
Okay.
For spectral and the sneak. Plus one, plus two is an 8.
Okay. So you manage to you kind of pierce through the veil a little bit, and you see the inner workings of the door, and you're able to manipulate those, and the physical locks disengage. Thankfully, it doesn't seem like Mr. Jonah is all that in touch with the mortal world. And he doesn't hear it. He's still shoveling cookies down his gob. The sneak roll is going to apply to the runes that are here kind of on the spectral plane. And you're going to succeed at disarming them. But cool. You're not going to succeed quite well enough to escape the notice of Mr. Jonah. And so he shoves one cookie in his mouth and just goes, sir. Those were very good. I love them. And I want more if you can just, refill the plate. I have to go punch someone who just, used our delightful conversation as a trick to get past all of us and turn off the wards. So if you'll excuse me. And he turns around and just goes, do you want to fight?
If I said no, are you not going to punch me?
It means I will kill you gently.
I'm already dead.
I can make it permanent.
Can I just drop into the floor?
Roll me a spectral.
Oh, nope, I super don't. I rolled a 4.
So... you go to drop through the floor, and he's just standing there, and a weird breeze is starting to blow.
How about as I turned off the wards, one of it fell and hit the floor, so I can't get through.
Well, what it was
peeled off like a sticker and just landed on the floor.
That's very good. What you noticed when that happened was the floor was already warded.
Oh, was it? Damn.
It just was really, really sneakily warded to prevent anyone from burrowing under, because presumably whoever defended this place watched a Looney Tunes at some point. and Jonah, there's a breeze from nowhere starting to blow his hair and clothes, and his fists are very clenched. And he's just yeah, you can't go down.
Yeah, that's cheating.
I mean, no part of this is supposed to be fair, Mr. Safecracker.
Trailer's cool. Conflicted. At one point, this is the perfect distraction for him and Barry to carry on. The other one is, I could just hit this guy. So he's just going to watch and let this play out.
What's Barry going to do?
I want to try and... I really want to put more into I play in the mortal world. Let's see. What could I do in the mortal world?
Okay. Well, one of the things you can do is you can just kind of declare that some things exist in this room over on the mortal plane.
Ooh.
And see if you can come up with something that might exist in a vault room that you can use as a distraction or a weapon or something.
This is partially a museum of early life in Port Avalon. A museum almost certainly has mannequins in historical garb. I want there to be a big mannequin of some sort of soldier.
Okay, there absolutely is. This is probably like used to be a closet or storage room. So yeah, there's like, for some reason, someone in a red coat, like in a red coat, British outfit.
No, you know what I want it to look like. Why they'd be on
the West Coast, but
what I want it to look like, and I have no concept of what the real world corollary to this is, and if such an outfit would exist in early Port Avalon, Oregon life. I want this thing to look like a nutcracker.
Okay. So one absolutely exists. And what it was, you know, this is October in Port Avalon. Some people just don't have a concept of seasonal distinctions. And a really overzealous museum employee is getting ready for the Christmas decorations. And they have two nutcrackers. One of them is still in pieces in a box. One of them is fully assembled, which is dumb because they have to get it back upstairs. It is literally the size, like, it is as tall as the front door of the church. Like, it goes from ground level almost to the roof. It's a very big nutcracker. And it is fully assembled, waiting for you to use it on Jonah.
Oh boy, that thing is coming to life. It's doing the sort of little stocky toy soldier march over there, and it's gonna go over and just like tap Jonah on the shoulder from behind.
So there's a ripple in reality, and suddenly this big nutcracker that y'all had all kind of vaguely been aware of is like fuzzy background imagery from the mortal world bleeding through is now here and brightly painted in festive Christmas colors. And it's got this big pike kind of welded into one hand, and it just like clonks over. And Jonah, who is just so mad and so ready to punch Humphrey, it just reaches out its other round hand. It just like taps him on the shoulder, and Jonah whirls around. And, like, the wind dies, and he just goes, whoa, what is that?
This is my helper. Jonah, I'm sorry to say, you're being quite naughty right now. And if you want any more cookies, I'm gonna need you to be a little nicer.
You gotta switch lists.
And Jonah just looks at you, looks at the plate in your hand, looks at the nutcracker and just goes, well, I was hired to keep people out of this vault. I need someone. Okay. He says that, and he is clearly weighing his options. Y'all somehow can push him one way or the other to stand down, or to, like, follow the rules to the letter and go after this bigger threat. Or sell me on another idea.
I want so much for him to just be fighting a nutcracker in the corner while we go complete our business.
We may have some sort of line to rewards that are useful for a ghost. If that is something you want and you do not wish to be punched in the face by a nutcracker, I suggest you accept these terms.
Or mastermind, tell him that the nutcracker is there to relieve him of his position.
Alternatively,
Joe, we have Joe,
order some.
Do you want to go that route?
Oh yeah.
Okay, roll me smooth with a... Okay, in fact, Joe, I want to try something here.
Okay.
So when we're going... I want us to trigger your move called Rewind to show you what we really planned.
Hell yes!
And what's going to happen is, as Jonah is kind of squaring off against his nutcracker and like looking to play the cookies, the scene rewinds back to when y'all were up all kind of standing around the trapdoor talking about this thing. Like, Barry had looked through with his glasses. Humphrey had visited and come back with some more information. And they're relaying, y'all relaying all this. And Barry mentions that there's like some Christmas decorations and that, you know, he can pull them into the real world and all this stuff. So I want y'all to kind of role play out a plan where y'all get him, where your plan is, we're going to animate this nutcracker and replace, and replace this, convince this guard that that's the replacement. I want y'all to plan this. And if y'all can make a good plan here, okay. And then I'm going to have Joe, you're going to roll smooth at the end of this to sell it.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay.
All right. So what we're going to do, I'm going to go ahead. You guys distract him. Cookies or something. They're delicious. Something silly. I'm going to try and sneak behind him and start taking out the runes so we can get into the vault. And if I get made, what I want you to do is animate that nutcracker and we'll just bullshit our way through it and tell him that I was a trial. The whole thing is just we're making sure that he's up to snuff. All the fighting he was all fake. It's just all a big ruse to make sure that he is up to snuff to take care of the vault. And because he noticed me taking out I already disabled the vault stuff, he let somebody get by. So we're replacing him with this nutcracker who's going to do a better job. Boom.
Trio just stands there in kind of stunned silence. There is no way that is going to work. Absolutely no way. All I'll do is I will convince him that there is some other force breaking into the vault, and then he will let us in. There is no, absolutely zero way a plan involving cookies and nutcrackers can ever work.
You lack imagination, and it hurts my feelings, and you aren't allowed to have any of my candy bars when I finally make them, sir.
I think a nutcracker is one of the most trustworthy, dependable faces you could come up against. And Drail, oh, my boy, have you tried my cookies?
Of course I haven't. You always made it sound very weird.
Oh, Drail, and I pull out, in fact, no, this isn't a plate, this is a stocking with a big, you know, monogram D on it.
Damn it.
It's filled up with cookies, just for him. Drail, there's the chocolate chips. Do you like chocolate? There's a snickerdoodle. Are you a cinnamon man?
If you go along with my plan, I will have a cookie.
Can I also have a cookie?
Of course.
And I guess just that look of stunned silence that was on Drow's face earlier in the rewind is just on his face, like, now as we go back into the scene.
So, yeah, Drail, suddenly you find yourself in almost the exact situation that your thief described, where he wasn't stealthy enough. And now you have to take this patently ridiculous plan and somehow make it work. So you're going to roll plus smooth for me, and you're going to get a plus one off of having thought and game planned this earlier, despite your reservations.
Yep. Is there anything we can roll to help in the assist? An assist.
If y'all want to assist, yes. I'm going to need both of y'all to spend a spook point, and he'll get a bonus to this.
Really want this to work.
Additional plus ones. Yeah. So you're getting a net plus three off of your move and off of your friends helping you.
Okay. Let's just hope I don't roll really bad. Plus three, you said.
Well, and plus dear. Your smooth.
Also yeah. plus four. Okay. So I rolled 9. No, so I got a 13.
A 13? tell me how you bullshit this poor Goku wannabe into standing down for an animated nutcracker.
Suck it, Jonah!
I don't even understand. Okay.
That momentary, like, stunned silence just kind of passes and Game Face goes back on. Pulls a scroll out that has, like, a very regal-looking wax seal. He breaks it, and I am afraid to say that this would be your performance review.
Oh, no!
And so far, you have displayed, while a certain admirable amount of initiative, general incompetence. And he keeps, like, going from looking very at the paper that is just, oh god, I don't even know, like, it's some kind of royal decree. Looking at the paper, like, looking directly at Jonah. And you have allowed yourself to be cornered by a Christmas decoration. As such, I deem the only fitting punishment is that you are banished, and this nutcracker will be your replacement. Do you have anything to say for yourself?
What? This was a test? They didn't tell me it was a test. Guys, I promise I'm not incontinent. I can totally guard this vault. And as he says that, like, the door to the vault, like, very quietly swings open. Or not quietly, very noisily swings open as he's saying that. And so, like, okay, that's a fluke. I am totally good at this. Like, look, I will fight this nutcracker, man.
You were distracted by a plate of cookies. I believe that says everything that I need to say.
Man, I think those cookies are magic.
I'm gonna reappear in front of him with my arms crossed. I'm just gonna... Such a terrible performance. And you're going to punch a child. That is upsetting, sir.
I mean, you're a ghost, dude. We're all dead.
I fail to see your point.
Okay.
Mark him down another mark. Take him down another mark.
No, don't do that.
Aquila Piz.
Oh, man, I might not get hired again.
You have two options. You either stick around and learn how much of a better job a nutcracker can do, or, and this is the one I suggest, escape and hope that the people who hired us don't find you again. And the quill is just kind of hovering over the paper.
Oh man, they're real mean if they get mad. Look, you guys are real cool. You guys are real cool. Can y'all give me like a head start before y'all tell them?
You have until this feather hits the ground. I grab it. I suggest you move, sir. Just gently let it go.
And he just, like, he looks at it and just goes, oh no! And he just, like, rockets off.
All of Drell's composure drops and he just has his head in his hands.
I'm going to high-five Barry.
Yeah, Barry's going to grab you in a big hug. He doesn't understand what a high-five is.
Damn.
All right, do y'all give the, I guess now totally appropriate for your group, signal?
Yes.
So I'm just going to start waving my arms around. Like a inflatable car salesman thing.
And just a second later, y'all hear some steps coming down the hall, and Ben shows up and just goes, wow, I really could see that through the ground. Cool. Hey, guys, why is there a nutcracker eating cookies?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
okay. You know, it's been my experience when anyone in this city says that, everyone should be concerned.
That's fair.
Well, I mean, y'all got the vault open and dealt with the guard.
Wasn't that hard?
Okay.
He breathes on his knuckles, his fingernails, and kind of buffs him on his shirt. Wasn't that hard?
Well, I guess my boss got the right people then. Well, thank y'all. If y'all head back up to the parking lot, your driver will be there, and he has all of your rewards prepared.
Cool. What year is this character from, Sky? Get your shit together.
It's fine if you just devolve into shitty teen, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's just kind of on brand, yeah. Really.
Yeah, I guess. All right. Well, you have fun with whatever's in there. I'm going to get going, and I'm going to finger guns at Ben and walk by. I'm also going to walk by Jill, tap him on the or pat him on the shoulder and be like, see, told you it would work, and just keep going.
I'm going to take one last look at my nutcracker and turn to Ben and say, take care of my son for me.
Okay. I think I know a good place for him. I'll have to ask my boss, but I'll see that he gets a really good place. I mean, since he's over on the spiritual plane now, he'll probably be at that house that y'all were at earlier, so maybe you'll see him again.
Melissa, what did you just do?
Besides speaking Santa Claus into existence, you just put an animated giant nutcracker into the game. So,
can it be just wandering around like the Statue of Liberty in Ghostbusters 2?
Yes, yes.
It'll sure be something, and it's gonna come up in the October game. So, we'll find out soon.
Yes.
The October game sounds like the Hunger Games, but with candy.
Oh, I mean, now I want to play that game, too. Okay, so Barry wanders up the stairs, too, after that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Drell dusts himself off, supplicates before the angel, and just is kind of done. I leave.
Fair. So all three of y'all go back upstairs, and the town car is waiting there, and your driver has the back door open and is just, like, leaned back against the car and just goes, hey, buddies, how y'all doing? Did y'all do the whole thing?
Yeah, worked out pretty good.
All right, well, I'm supposed to take y'all back to the house. Since none of y'all wanted help crossing over, we don't have to do that. And I got some rewards for y'all inside here. And he like reaches into the front pocket of his chauffeur outfit and he pulls out a candy bar. Do you want to describe Humphrey's candy bar?
Let's see. What did I say it was? Cotton candy and chocolate.
Yeah. Which sounds awful, Sky.
I know. But it's truly magical.
It's magically delicious.
It's that's right. So, it is about the size of a regular squished Hershey's bar, but you'll find that when you take a bite of the chocolate, it just kind of melts immediately as though it was cotton candy, and you just got the lovely chocolatey taste in your mouth for a real long time. And it looks like regular chocolate, but it just kind of melts away super fast.
Okay, so regular chocolate bar that somehow has the consistency of cotton candy in your mouth.
Yeah.
That sounds weird, but I would eat it at least once. All right.
It's a dream of a kid who died wearing a Newsie costume.
And what is it called again?
The Ralston Bar, or what was his name? Rinkin Bar.
The Rinkin Bar. The Rinkin Bar. Now available in stores all over Port Avalon. I'm sure that won't be bad at all.
It's got a symbol of a Newsie hat in the O. There's a Newsie hat in there.
Oh, heck yeah. So it's got that. It's a very nice wrapper. It just goes, yeah, it's apparently whoever hired you guys can play with time, which I should probably be more concerned about than I am, but if all they did was make you a chocolate bar happen today, so who cares? All right, and he just gestures you in. All right.
I'm just elated, and I just go in there, and you see Humphrey doing the Charleston or something.
Very good. Barry, you approach the car, and the driver holds up one bone finger, just goes, one second, I got yours, and he walks around to the trunk, and he pulls out a garment bag, and he comes back around to you and says, well, I'm sure you're familiar with the process and all, but you've been approved to be part of the clause once again, and you can you'll know when to put on the costume, and you can aid in the practice. It's a little weird. The current suit holder was a little nonplussed that one of his predecessors wanted to come out of retirement, but. You know, he's a jolly old soul, so he's willing to give it a shot.
Look at it. It's beautiful. Red and warm. It's got my initials right there. I'll be happy to put it on again. Go back out there.
Barry Claus, right down Barry Claus Lane.
Back into the field, out there in the sky.
Apparently, since you are, in fact, a ghost, you won't need reindeer or a sleigh, so that's not included in the deal. I'm sure some omnipotent power is just really, really concerned about this change to the fabric of reality that's been foisted upon them, but, you know, that's neither of our problems, so enjoy your time back in the saddle.
Oh, thank you. I'll remember you come December 21st.
All right.
25th. Oh, dang!
Two Christmases!
You're batting 1,000 already. I'm very happy to be a part of this.
The 21st is ghost Christmas. It's different than regular Christmas.
Damn it! Okay. And so you hop into the car with your garment bag. And out comes Drail. And you approach the car, and the chauffeur just looks baffled by everything that's happened so far and just goes, well, you have the ring, and I'm told that they're going to be actively working on a solution, kind of a long-term solution to your problem. But until then, you know, just wear that ring and you should be free of any curses. Now, I was told that if a triggering event is strong enough, it may still bring you, I'm using metaphor and whatnot. I'm just going to drop that. So if a death is strong enough or big enough, it will still pull you there to observe it. So, real sorry about that. But until they come up with a permanent solution, you know, this is better than having to see all of them, I suppose.
That is more than I could ever have hoped for. Thank you. Yeah, Drail takes the ring out of his pocket, kind of plays around with it in his fingers, and slips it on where his wedding band would have been. And there's this moment of relief on his face that gets quickly subsumed with rage. And he just says, I will be coming for you, Mountebank. You can be assured of that.
And the driver just kind of goes, all right. I was asked to provide you with a bit of a gift, and, well, this is not nearly as weird as the last one, so whatever. And he pulls a letter out of his inner jacket pocket. And it has a seal on it that you recognize. And it just says, your wife wrote this for you. And he gestures you into the car.
As he passes, he takes the letter, and there's the suggestion of perhaps a tear on his cheek. The sexy cry.
Very good. So you get in, and the door shuts, and your driver takes his seat at the arcade machine again, and there's that kind of very low-level feeling of motion. And the camera kind of cranes up as the car drives off, and then it dives back down through the church. And we go back into the vault as Ben is walking in. He just goes, "Aw, that was a weird group. Man, I'm glad they got some happiness out of this." And he looks down at a table, and on that table is a contraption we've seen before. A metal frame holding a sliver of stone suspended in midair. And he looks at that and just goes, "Because no one else is going to be happy today." And he opens a bag that he had just kind of pulls out of nowhere. And he puts the bag over the rock and then draws it closed at the bottom, picks it up, and kind of holds it by the strings well away from him, just goes, "No, next couple days are gonna suck." And it cuts to black.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.